This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, you wake up in the morning. You hear the work bell ring. And I march you to the table. You see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon the table. There's no fork up in the pan. But you better not complain, boy. You get in trouble with the man.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a ever-loving light on me.
Yeah, how about a little Creedence in the morning, huh? I love those people and that group, The Revival. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Monday, July the 25th, and wow, this month is moving along. In a few minutes, we are going to be talking in studio with Kevin Hazlett. He is seeking the Republican nomination for Congress in the 13th District here in Florida. And so stay tuned for that. Should be interesting. We've had him on before. He's an excellent guest. And when is a recession not a recession? Well, apparently, when the White House tells you it's not. They claim we're doing okay. We're not in a recession yet. We're going to discuss that conundrum, along with some other things, with the brothers Ceresi, our Eye in the Northern Sky, Angelo, and our master barber, Andrew. So stay tuned for that a bit later in the show. And we're going to uncage Wilbur the Duck, another edition of Campus Quackery. This time we're going to travel to the University of Michigan and its med school class. So you can stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, who are the top 10 greatest explorers of all time? You have your own list. We're going to give you ours towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, it's hot out there. You need a haircut. You'll feel better. You'll look better. Get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's the best barber in Tampa Bay, for my money. They're located in the Overcast Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street in Dunedin. Call first. 727-733-3773. All right. So as usual, we have a lot going on, among other things right now, and we're going to talk about a little bit later in this as well, but the White House Council of Economic Advisors said that even if the country's gross domestic product is negative, it's still unlikely to be in a recession. Now, technically, if you get two consecutive quarters of negative economic growth, you're supposed to be in a recession. But these guys, these advisors say that doesn't mean the country's in a recession. Apparently, we're not in a recession, even though it's just as bad as it would be if we were. Here's what their post says. What is a recession? Well, while some maintain that two consecutive quarters of failing real GDP constitutes a recession, that's neither the official definition nor the way economists evaluate the state of the business cycle. Well, when you are forced to start talking like that, you know you're in trouble, right? Because I don't care if you want to call it a recession or not a recession. When you go by a gas station or you go into the store, as far as you're concerned, you're spending more money than you ever have before for some stuff. And a lot of that stuff isn't there anyway. Who cares if you call it a recession or not? You're having a bad day. So, Janet Yellen, I wouldn't want to have her as a fortune teller, by the way. But Janet Yellen, she's the Treasury Secretary. She said, the economy is not in a recession, but we're in a period of transition where growth is slowing. Ah, Ed.
It's the old transition.
Now I feel better.
It's the old transition.
I feel much better now that I've listened to Janet Yellen. So away we go with some of that nonsense. We'll talk a little bit later about that, by the way, with Andrew and Angela.
Transition means Trump's fault, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the same thing, yeah. In the meantime, this is kind of scary, and I did want to kind of hover on this a little bit. A member of the House Intelligence Committee is warning Americans to stay away from any DNA testing. You know when you hear about like Ancestry.com and all those kinds of things? Stay away from those testing services as the info could be used to develop bioweapons that could target you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Once you get to be really famous, Ed, you know that a drone's going to probably aim for you. So you have to be careful about allowing people to know about your DNA. This is, and it's coming from both sides of the aisle, apparently. Jason Crow is a Democrat from Colorado. He appeared on a forum in Colorado in Aspen, saying many Americans are far too willing to give up their DNA info to private companies. He says you can't have a discussion about this without talking about privacy and the protection of commercial data because expectations of privacy have degraded. Well, we know that. Let's see here. Now, Crow's a former Army Ranger. Then he argued that once a person's DNA, this is where it gets a little spooky, once a person's DNA is gathered by a private company, that company can sell it. Now, there's a group called 23andMe. I guess it's an ancestry kind of group.
Yeah.
You ever heard of them?
Yeah, I heard of it in a couple of commercials.
Well, 23andMe has denied ever selling its private info that it gathers from customers. But I don't think I would want to give it away. I'm not sure I would want to give it away. You know, you don't think about it when you're interested in getting stuff like your ancestry. But you don't think about the consequences either. That's kind of a scary scenario.
As long as it doesn't give me any more emails or text messages, I don't really care, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I've always thought, you know, as far as privacy goes, it's great to have it.
And how does this guy think this thing up?
I don't know.
Does it happen to mention in the meantime, while he's not spinning records backwards, listening to the hidden devil's meeting?
He's looking for jet streams and their messages up in the sky. We both knew someone that believed in jet streams.
Yeah.
You remember? But anyway, here's Joni Ernst. Now, she is a Republican. She attended the forum. And listen to this. Joni Ernst said U.S. adversaries could use that same technology to target livestock and crops to induce famine. Is that getting a little bit... tin foil to you or not?
We can't get grain to the proper people, for crying out loud. We're worried about getting DNA.
We got too many other things to worry about. I don't want to worry about this.
I'll tell you what, that goes on my list as soon as gas prices go down.
Yes.
And I'll start worrying about that.
I'm sure you will. Hey, let's do this, because I want to get to speak again with our buddy Kevin Hazlett, who's sitting patiently outside of the studio right now.
He's in the green room.
And let's take our break now. And when we come back, Kevin Hazlett will join us, and we'll talk about his run for the Republican nomination for Congress.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive.
And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for being with us. And we are delighted to have back Kevin Hazlett. He is running for the Republican nomination for the 13th District U.S. Congressional seat, soon to be vacated by Charlie Crist, who is, of course, running for governor of Florida. Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Paul. Glad to be here.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Now, you just came out of that summit. Tell us a little bit about how that went. What was that, a couple of nights ago?
Paul, it's unbelievable. You get a lot of like-minded Republicans in one room. The energy was palpable. I mean, you had DeSantis was there. You had Jimmy Patronis was there. You had Byron Donalds was there. You had literally a who's who in the state of Florida. You had Florida folks running for House, running for Senate. You had four congressional races that were the part of the debates that were there. It really was a crystallizing of what I'll call the DeSantis red wave in Florida. And I think a lot of people, if you go back 4 years ago, people saw Florida as a purple state. And when DeSantis took the helm, which, by God, you think about how scary that was. I mean, in the studio, we literally were, 1,400 votes away. I mean, a crazy amount from having a crazy man at the helm, which we peel back the onion, and he's even crazier than we thought. And we almost went the other direction. And right. You look back and you think of 2018, how important that vote was, and how important it was that patriots came that year and voted for DeSantis, and how every vote counted.
Indeed. Has he endorsed you?
He hasn't endorsed anybody. He has made no endorsements in this race. He endorsed Gus Bilirakis to the north. Of course, I've got the support of his parents, Ron and Karen Sr., and they've come to a lot of my events. They wear my shirts. They've got bumper stickers on their cars. So,
yeah, anybody in our area here in the Clearwater area knows about Gus Bilirakis.
Yes. But
the family itself has been in
politics
for a while.
They've been wonderful. But like I said, Ron DeSantis Sr. and Karen have been huge supporters of my campaign, and they come out, and I appreciate that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, Donald Trump has announced an endorsement, and let's mention that Kevin is in the 13th District, which includes a good portion of Pinellas County, including the much of Clearwater and St. Petersburg. So it's a very important and interesting area, because we've got, what would you call this district, somewhat purple?
Not at all. It's the exact opposite. It's bright red.
Bright red.
Because it's bright red because DeSantis made it bright red. So if historically you go back to the last cycle, we had a situation where Trump lost to, in this district, barely. I think it's one of the four counties he lost in the state. And it really, last time, there were so many Republicans that were disappointed because they saw, I mean, look at Charlie Crist. I mean, classic flip-flopper, right? I mean, you go back, was a Republican, now a Democrat, bro-hugged Obama, very connected to Obama. In every around the country, last time we flipped 14 seats from blue to red. And really, everybody thought that if we had the right candidate in 2020, we should have flipped it. But we were disappointed. We lost it. We lost that as a greater. We lost it, unfortunately, worse than we lost the Biden-Trump vote. So it was very disappointing. And I think it's so important because folks in Pinellas County, we thought they would reject Charlie Crist last time. I think they didn't have the right choice. But the issue is this. This is one of those seats, and I know everybody talks about this. This is one of those seats that probably is one of the most important ones in the country. It is in blue under the last three terms to Charlie Crist. It also is a legacy seat. That means that we need to elect someone that can hold the seat in good times and in bad times. The pendulum swings. It's not always the red wave that's coming. Sometimes it goes the other way. We need to have someone that can defend it when there is a wave going one way or the other. And the way it's drawn, we have 10 years to have a true leader, someone that knows the people in the district, someone that has roots in the district, someone who's truly conservative, someone who's not waffled. I think it's be fair to say we wouldn't want someone who's been an Obama supporter to be in this district because we're gun-shy of that. We've lived through Charlie Crist. And we know, and even Dave Jolly, I remember those days.
Oh.
Yeah, and that, for a lot of folks, that was disappointing because he moved from what we thought was conservative more to the moderate side of it. And I think Pinellas County, especially now, with the district that has been redone, depending on which you know measuring stick you use, Paul, it's probably an R plus 10. So we should demand that Republicans hold this seat. And they should hold it for 10 years. The problem is, and Town Hall did a great story on this, they said that Republicans need to nominate Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts that can withstand the pressure of this cycle and the next five. Because if you nominate somebody and they win the seat and they're vulnerable in the next cycle, you've not done any service to the people of Pinellas County. And that's the problem that we have. And I think that we need to have someone that knows the people here, someone that the locals have rallied behind. And what I mean by that is the locals have vetted. Then in my campaign, of course, I've got more endorsements than any other candidate in the race. And from local folks that people trust.
One of the endorsements I think you were seeking but were not able to get was from Donald Trump.
Well, let me stop for a second. Remember, Donald Trump made the endorsement 8 months ago.
Right.
So the
a
only
little ahead of the game, right?
Well, the only person in the race, certainly there was not opportunity for me to have a seat at the table. And that becomes, I think, a lot of people don't understand that. That endorsement was made in September of 2021. And that frustrated a lot of people, the way that it frustrated with, you know.
So he should have waited a little bit longer.
Well, I mean, and I'm not certainly critical of him, but the folks of his advisors have said they're concerned about making early endorsements before you have a full plate of candidates in the ring, because we now are left to the situation we'll never know. Because we never know. If you had eight candidates in the same, you know, office and they're being interviewed, and they say, I'll take this candidate.
Well, let me ask you this. Did he make the endorsement before you had announced, or did he make the endorsement without knowing enough about you? Why would he have endorsed Anna Paulina Luna over you and, let's say, Amanda Mackey? Because you three, I would think, are the most well-known. But
well, so I got in the race January of 2022. This was September of 2021. So let's do some math. I think math is always important.
So he did that before you announced?
He didn't know me.
Right.
Didn't know who I was.
Okay.
Hadn't announced in the race.
Do you think he might regret?
Well, listen, it's always great trying to read people's minds, right. You know, especially when we read minds of dead people. What would George Washington say right now? So the answer is I have no idea. But the answer, I think, for a lot of folks is if you're asking, and here's a fairer question. Our sheriff, Bob Gualtieri, Grady Judd, American sheriff, they had a choice of every candidate in the race, and they chose me. Ed Hooper, our state senator, had a choice of every candidate in the race, and they chose me. Bill Foster, mayor of St. Pete, unendorsed Miss Luna to endorse me. These are people that, you know, Matt Becker, who ran the race last time, had endorsed Luna. He unendorsed her to endorse me. I'm the only candidate in the race who had four elected or prior elected officials unendorse a candidate race to endorse me. And listen, I think that goes, here's the issue. A lot of people talk about folks who live outside the district, their endorsement. And I ask you this question. Whose endorsement do you value? Someone who's known someone for 10 minutes or someone who's known for 30 years? And I think that as you look at folks like Sheriff Gualtieri, who I've known since the late 80s, you know, I've known Ed Hooper for 20
years.
Yeah,
you grew up in the Clearwater area.
But here's the thing. An endorsement is only as good as the value of the relationship. If I come there and I walk into someone and say, here's $10,000, endorse me, well, does that endorsement have any value?
I mean, $10,000 worth.
Yeah, well, $10,000 worth. And especially if you want to hide that from people. But here's the issue. I think it's important to understand that the first job of any congressperson is to represent the district. And I think the folks in the district should say, what do the combined opinions of the people that have lived here, worked here, held office, in my case, for over 250 years of combined time, what do their opinions? And I think that Pinellas Countyans have voted those people and trusted those people, and those folks have trusted me.
Right. We're talking with Kevin Hazlett. As you can see, he certainly speaks well. 13th congressional candidate for the Republican nomination. Going to ask a couple of questions, Kevin. Amanda Mackey has been putting out some mailers, and among other things, she says that because you are an attorney, your Clearwater law firm profits off representing illegal immigrants. She says this: his webpage even advertises strategies on how illegals can gain compensation from their employers. And then she quotes, apparently quotes from your website, quote, "It's important for undocumented workers to understand their right to workers' compensation." Now, is that true?
Here's the interesting thing. As a prosecutor, which I was for 6 years, one of the issues that came up was this. When I have a victim of a homicide, and that victim is an undocumented citizen, is it less of a murder? Those are human beings, and it's still a crime in our system. The other issue is, as you know, I'm a firm of 20 lawyers, and I can't make every lawyer in my firm be a conservative Republican. I don't have the ability. And part of it is I allow people freedom of choice. And I think, of course, we didn't hear any of that before I shut up and the polls passed Ms. Mackey, but that's another here or there. And I understand that. But that's like me saying, okay, she lobbied for a substance, I think it's called Census, that made fentanyl. Does that mean that she supports fentanyl? Because Madison Cawthorn fraudulently said that he was had an appointment to the Naval Academy, and Madison Cawthorn endorsed Ms. Luna. Does that make Ms. Luna a fraud? I mean, those are things that are very interesting. I think what you want to look at is what do people say? What's the opinion of the candidate?
What's your feeling on the border situation right now, our southern border? That's a huge issue for Democrats.
Well,
I mean, Republicans.
Yeah, probably for both. The Democrats want them in. That's right,
too.
Paul. I'm the only candidate, that has the most conservative approach. And I've sat down with Grady Judd. I've sat down with Sheriff Mike Pendergast. I've sat down with Sheriff Bob Gualtieri on these exact issues. And that's part of the reason that they endorse me, because I'm the only former prosecutor. I'm the only person with any law enforcement experience at all, period. My position, Paul, has been this. Unlike Ms. Luna, who wants to keep the current laws, and unlike Ms. Luna, who actually publicly stated, and this is her words, she supports the Biden-Obama immigration policy. She publicly stated that she loves Obama and supports Obama. Those are her words. I didn't tell her to say that. That's what she said. Unfortunately, that's why I see this as a Charlie Crist thing. I mean, I'm very concerned. I think Pinellas Countyans are concerned when people say one thing, then they profess to be a conservative, because we want to know people's true colors. My position consistently since this has begun, and at all times, has been this. I don't say we enforce the laws we have. I say we have new laws. The new laws are these. We do not allow a person to come into the country. We take a page out of Australia's book, which is this. When you come to America, we turn you back. Unlike we do right now, which you get a phone, a bus ride, some money, and a request to come back 12 months later, which only 8% of the people show up for. My position is you turn them away. Then we do this. We only take in the folks that we have a need for. If we need 12,000 nurses, let's bring those folks in once we've vetted their credentials. But we should decide who comes in based upon our needs. When we have veterans...
Should we build the wall back up? Should we continue the building of the wall as Donald Trump was trying to do?
100%. Listen, it's costing Americans right now $3 million just to guard the material, Paul. Is that insane? I think we build the wall back. We tighten the security. When people go aboard, we reject them, turn them away. Now, they can apply like anybody else. Listen, I've got a legal assistant who came here lawfully. It took her 5 years, $5,000. She did the right thing. We have right now what's called immigration inflation. That means that we're letting people in, and it's not fair. But as long as we have needs in this country, and we should put Americans first, not only in citizenship, but is it in energy, in manufacturing? And certainly, when we have, as I said earlier, vets sleeping on the street, we need to take care of them first before we bring in and take care of other folks. That's why I think we shouldn't have support to Ukraine. We need to, we've got a need here. We've got a need here, and it's emergent. And we can't print our way out of this.
Indeed. Kevin, it's just a delight to have you back. This is a very interesting race. And I know you've been working very, very hard out there. Now, the actual primary is what, August 23rd?
August 23rd, that's correct.
Okay, so I think it's going to be a pretty large turn. I think there's a lot of interest right now. Who do you think is going to be the Democratic nominee in the 13th district that you might run against?
Well, there's only one. So this is an easy answer. It's Eric Lynn, who's an Obama person. And I don't know if he knows Ms. Loon or not because of the Obama connection. But here's the thing. He is, again, I'm, as Chris Brawls would say, I'm the only candidate who's lived here for more than 12 minutes. Every candidate in the race, other than me, has moved here to run for the seat. Every candidate has moved into...
Carpet bagging, huh?
Yeah, and listen, I think Oz is a nice gentleman, but, you know, he's taken heat in Pennsylvania because he came from New Jersey to move into the state. And I think that when you have candidates that move into a district with the sole reason to run for office, I think I've talked to a lot of citizens on the street. They don't like that. They want someone who's been vetted by the people that live here, that know the problems here, that have some history here, that have some roots here. Because here's the thing. If I vote not the way that I've said I was going to vote, I've got 40,000 people that I know that will hold me accountable. My mom and dad are here. My sister and brother. I've got so many tentacles in here and roots of the family.
Yeah, there's no question about your roots here.
But Paul, why that is important is this. That means that you know the folks in this district and they know you. Try to find any person who lives in the district who has known any of my opponents, either side of the aisle, for longer than 10 years. There's not a person you can find. There's no such person. You can put them all in the room. There's no one here. So the problem is we don't want to get Charlie Crist. Id. That's a verb. but seriously, that's right. A concern. When you don't know that person's true, you know, when someone says, well, I support Obama over here, but now I've changed my mind on that, I've got concern over that. And that should bother everybody. When someone says they're pro Obama, Biden, immigration, and now they say they changed their turn, well, how are they going to vote when they get up there? Because right. We heard from other candidates. We believe Charlie Crist. Hell, I gave him money when he's a Republican, Paul, because I believed him. And he deceived us. And this is like a Who song. Pinellas County won't be fooled again.
Right. Kevin, it's been a real pleasure. And thank you so very much for coming in. I love doing it in studio with you.
Well, there's no other way to do it, Paul.
Thank you again, my friend. And
thanks,
good luck.
Paul. I appreciate it. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. Kevin Hazlett. What a guy. We're going to take our break when we come back. When it's a recession, not a recession, well, we're going to talk about that little conundrum, among other things, with Andrew and Angelo Ceresi. So stay tuned for that.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, and we thank you so very much for being with us here on Freedom Works. And delighted to have back both of the Ceresi brothers, as per usual, on Monday, both Andrew and Angelo. And gentlemen, welcome back. First of all, I got a couple of things I want to talk to you about, but before we get into any of that, Andrew, Kevin Hazlett was just on. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to some of his comments, but I'll tell you one thing about him. He's not at a loss for words.
Well,
I sat back and just allowed him to go.
Well, he's the candidate, believe me.
Yes.
You know, I've been backing him since he said he was going to run, and I believe he should be the one to win, Paul.
Well, he certainly has the roots here. He mentioned that the Amanda Mackey and Anna Paulina Luna were more like carpetbaggers coming in specifically so that they could win the district.
I told you that, Paul. They're looking for a job. And they've been scouting down the biggest district to try and get a hold of. 13 is a very important district, Paul.
It is. You're absolutely right. He mentioned he thinks it's dark red. I'm wondering. We had Charlie Crist running things here. I wouldn't consider that being a dark red vote. But it looks like he's pretty confident that a Republican is going to recapture the 13th district.
Well, I can tell you this. If Kevin is a nominee, we will take the seat back. Anybody else takes it, they will lose in this district.
Okay.
Democrat will win.
Very interesting.
Kevin knows so many people in the district.
Angelo, since we last spoke last week, a tragedy in Rochester, where you live, a Rochester police officer died Thursday, and another one was injured. They were shot by somebody while on duty in Rochester. That's terrible, and yet it's kind of indicative of the violence against policemen that has been going on now for a while.
Well, they were set up in an ambush.
Wow.
The person was hiding behind bushes, then he fired 17 shots into the vehicle that they were sitting in, you know, casing out.
Yeah. That was terrible. Terrible. And, of course, you feel so sorry for the family. One of them, a 29-year-old veteran of the force, he was the one that was killed. And the other one has been on the force for 8 years. He's still around. But still, it's just horrible. It's shocking what's going on. It's kind of indicative, is it not, of the maybe the we used to have a hell of a lot more respect for police, I think, in this country than we now do.
Well, you don't have the respect for the police. You don't have respect for the Supreme Court. The Democrats have weaponized rhetoric by saying, defund the police. Everything that they're doing, you know, going after Gorsuch and...
Neil Gorsuch, the... U.S. Supreme Court justice, yep.
And Kavanaugh, that they tried to assassinate Justice Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
So this is brought on by these politicians, and I blame Schumer, the other lady there, what's her name?
Which one? You're talking about Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi and who's the other congresswoman? Waters. Maxine Waters.
Oh, Maxine Waters.
Get in their face.
I think
these people.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they had eight Black Lives Matter and Antifa, they didn't stand up and say everything was wrong, what they were doing. I blame it on them.
Yeah. We talked a little earlier in the show about the White House and recession, and right now everybody knows we're in trouble. Economically, everybody with a brain knows it. And yet the White House, Andrew, their economic advisors are saying, don't believe your lying ears and eyes. We're not in a recession yet. What do you say to people like that?
Well, Paul, it's very simple. You have all these people up there, all the geniuses on economics telling you this and that. You know what the difference is between a recession and a depression, Paul?
Go ahead.
A recession is when you're out of a job and I'm not. A depression is when you're out of a job and I'm out of a job.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Ronald Reagan said that.
This country is in a recession, yep. Paul. And it's been in a recession. It's probably been in a recession since the moron got in office.
It sure feels like it's in a recession. Everything's going wrong with everything this guy touches.
Well, it's ridiculous. I went and bought garbage bags. I buy 55-gallon plastic bags to work in my yard.
Yeah.
And I used to pay $17.99 for 32 of them. I went to buy a box yesterday. They were $24.99.
Wow, 25 bucks.
Two of them. Listen to this one.
Wow.
I went to 7-Eleven to get a Red Bull yesterday. And I usually buy the bigger size, and it's usually $3.33 for one.
Yeah, that's an energy drink or something?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I went there yesterday to buy one. It was $4.89.
Mm.
I said, you people are out of your minds. I'll go drink a shot of vodka.
Well, as a matter of fact, I was just going to say, you should do what I do. I sprinkle a little vodka in my coffee in the morning. That's why I'm so damn good at this job.
There you go. It's the only way you can handle it.
That's right. I mean, so we got, you know, now Biden gets COVID. I don't know if this is the second time he got it or not, but, you know, he has every kind of protection, everything. I mean, he's got a doctor watching over him all the time. He's got masks galore. He's got, you name it, he's got it. And he gets it.
Hey,
so
he was doing good. He ate his whole plate of food the other day.
Oh, he did?
When they were, yeah, they said.
Were they spoon feeding him?
What he's doing? I don't know, but I heard they gave him his binky when he was
So this guy, I'm wondering, though, seriously, if he's out of commission for a while, that might be good. Because everything he touches turns to, you know, bad. What do you think, Angelo? I mean, I don't mean for this guy to be sick, but he's always got an excuse for not doing anything, right? He's always in Delaware or he's, you know, somewhere else other than doing something.
Well, it's like when he was campaigning, he was in the basement.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, of course. And he's always got an excuse. They say he's always working. What do they say, you know, is his virus? Oh, he's working on this and he's working on that. We never see him. And then when he comes out, they lead him around kind of like a horse being led around the barn. Go ahead.
Everybody's telling him where he had to go next?
Yes.
He was supposed to come to Tampa last week.
Was he really?
He got the COVID, yes. He was supposed to address the Democrat convention or something. That
oh,
happened.
Oh, my.
That happened. They got the COVID just before he was supposed to. It was going to be last Monday, I believe. But I don't believe he came here and he got sick purposely because there was going to be thousands of people with Trump flags to greet him.
Let me ask you this, and I'm asking both of you this question. Let's assume in November that the Republicans win both the Senate and the House. They win the House by quite a bit, and so they got quite a majority there, which I think will occur. And they squeak by, and they win enough seats to capture the Senate, which is currently basically tied. Okay. Do you think that they will bring up a bill of impeachment? I'm not asking you if you think they should. I'm asking you if you think they will bring up a bill of impeachment against Joe Biden. Let me ask you that first, Angelo.
No, I think I don't think they will because the Republicans always play Mr. Nice Guy. And, like, I feel that they should impeach him, but they won't.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
You know why? We will end up with Kamala Harris.
That's true.
Just like we ended up with Kathy Hochul out here in New York. From Cuomo, and she's worse than Cuomo.
Yeah, now she's now the governor of New York, and she's worse than he is, huh? Okay.
Yep.
So, Andrew, not what you hope, but what you think on that question. Will he be impeached?
Joe Biden's got an insurance policy Allstate couldn't match, okay? Kamala Harris is his insurance policy.
Okay. So you feel the same way.
House and Senate. Yeah, they take the House and Senate. He's going to be a lame duck for 2 years. That's the best protection we could have.
Yeah, I think you're probably both right. And I also think Republicans just don't do things the way that Democrats do. They're still trying to impeach Donald Trump. And
Actually, I think what they're trying to do with the January 6th commission is get rid of Justice Thomas.
Oh, no, that's an interesting. How did you get to that? Go ahead.
Well, they've been going after him, you know, with what his wife said about the insurrection. Now, they're talking to Mr. Adam Schiff, who's out about getting Justice Thomas impeached with that. And he wanted to bring in, I don't know if he brought in his wife yet or not. to their commission. But if they can get rid of him, that means they can get another justice put in by, you know, Obama.
Well, that's not going to go anywhere unless Clarence Thomas decides on his own to vacate that seat. I would highly doubt they're going to be able to toss him out. And like you say, he's married to a woman that was, you know, she has her own life. But so do all of these justices have spouses that possibly have their own life as well. But, well, here's the thing about Donald Trump. It sounds to me, Andrew, like Trump is going to announce, I don't know if he's going to announce before November, he's all but at the edge of the line to announce that he's running again. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's going to run, Paul.
Yeah.
I think he's going to run. But, you know, I heard some things yesterday by some people that Ron DeSantis is definitely going to run.
Really? Wow.
Rumors.
Okay. All right. But
high-end Republicans.
Okay. Wow.
Whether they're rumors or not, I don't know.
You know, the pressure on him to run must be enormous. He came in. Didn't we talk about this, Angelo? Did you know that Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump are really the only two Republicans that even come up when they take a look at these polls of who is going to be your pick to be the Republican nominee? It's only those two. There is quite a bit of difference. It's still Trump by about 70%, and then they come, you know, Santas is maybe like 20-something percent.
Well, the thing is that this January 6th thing that they keep doing is trying to show that Trump was a criminal and this and that. They're pressuring the DOJ to indict Trump. And, you know, if the American people believe all this stuff, just like the Russian collusion, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. I think people are not listening to this January 6th committee anymore. I don't care how many pots and pans are rattled by the media on this thing. I just don't think it's... I think it's sliding off. We got other things we're more worried about. I don't think it's going to work. What do you think, quickly, Andrew? Do you think it's going to work in any way?
People aren't even paying attention to it, Paul.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
You know, when
you can't sit there and counter the people and ask questions, you know?
Exactly.
About humbug.
When it comes to Clarence Thomas, if they're going to start checking in the spouses, how about we check in Nancy Pelosi's spouse with his little stock dealings?
But Nancy,
is,
you know. But you don't understand, Ed. Nancy said there's nothing to see here.
Did you see her walk away from that podium?
She even lowered the mic.
She lowered
the
mic. She
was ready to take off.
She didn't do a mic drop. She lowered the mic.
If you believe everything she says, I'll sell you to Brooklyn Bridge.
Sounds good to me. Hey, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on again, as usual. God bless you. And, Andrew, we'll talk again on Wednesday.
Take care, Paul. Hey, have a good day.
All right, guys.
Always good to have the North Pole up here speaking.
Yes, we enjoy it, Santa. Thank you very much, buddy. All right. Going to take our final break and dust off Wilbur in another edition of Campus Quackery. We travel to the University of Michigan and its med school class.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Monday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. And by the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. But thanks to Ed, if you cannot listen to us live, he puts all our shows on podcast. All you have to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button, and away you go. All right. So, dozens of incoming University of Michigan med school students got out of their chairs and walked out on a pro-life keynote speaker's address after a previous petition had circulated to get the woman fired. Or I should say, to get the woman removed from speaking. Dr. Kristen Collier, she's a pro-life assistant professor of medicine there at University of Michigan, gets up on the stage Sunday to address, these are new students. These are students that are coming in. These aren't long-time students. They just got there.
So you're saying they were brainwashed on the bus right over.
Exactly. They got brain. Where's Wilbur? Thank you, Wilbur. See, Wilbur agrees with us. So here they are. She goes on the stage to address them at what's called their white coat ceremony. Several dozen people got up from their seats and headed for the exits. They had the video on that. Now, her speech was not expected to focus on abortion, but some students petitioned the school weeks prior to remove her as the keynote speaker over her support for the unborn. Now, if people are going to have a problem with another person's view on things, we ain't going to get anybody speaking anytime.
Well, that's the problem.
Can you believe that? You can't censorship get like that?
You can't get a dialogue with these people.
They won't listen to
you. If you don't listen
to... They want to censor your thought and your voice.
If you don't go along with their way, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. It's like a child in the corner with his fingers in his ears.
Yeah.
Going, la, 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 la.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's very frustrating to see that. Now, the protesting group included students donning their medical white coats and some parents. The school said 168 new medical students attended the initiation ceremony. And I guess they take what's called the White Coat Pledge and the Hippocratic Oath. The Hippocratic Oath is from Hippocrates, and all doctors take that oath. Basically, it says you promise to do no harm. And if you promise to do no harm, I don't see how you can become involved in the killing of an unborn child, but that's the way it goes sometimes. So that's another thing. It's a very hypocritical situation.
Of course it is.
All right. We got a couple of minutes, Ed, before we get to our top 10. We have a good one, by the way. Top 10 explorers of all time. Greatest ones. But I want to touch base with you about the baseball season. I guess that's the only sport going on. Do we have any other sports we should be interested
no.
in? No. Okay. How are the...
Buccaneer training camp will open next week.
Oh, it will?
Yeah.
Okay. And Tom Brady will be the quarterback.
Actually, this weekend, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Well, that's it. I'm kind of glad. I mean, we got to think about something. I get a little tired of nothing but baseball.
Yes.
What about the Rays? Are they getting better or worse or running in
you
place?
You know, it's
or what?
Frustrating again, you know. They play down to the competition. They've just played the Royals, who are like, what, 15, 20 games under 500 or whatever it is. And they lost 2 out of 3 again. You know, it's just... And it seems to me that Kevin Cash, our manager, seems to figure, well, this is a team that's going to be easy. Let's put the wet wipes in there.
Oh, he did?
You
know, he didn't...
He held some people out. Why would you hold people out for a rest when you just had a week off for the All-Star break?
You need to win these games.
And come on. This is where we can make up some ground.
I guess it's because there's no chance of catching the Yankees in their division.
I'm not worried about the Yankees. Oh. Now they're third in the AL East.
They could be second and be a wild card.
Did you see the score? Was it Friday night? The Blue Jays beat the Red Sox?
What was that score?
28-3.
Oh, my God.
It was 24-1 in the...
28-3?
24-1 like in the fifth inning. And it wound up being a 28-3 ball game.
My God. Who won that game?
All Boston got was a field goal. That's it.
I bet the Boston pitchers, their ERAs collectively have gone up 500%.
Don't know.
That's
but
amazing. Okay.
That's like getting beat three times, wow, you know?
Right. All right. Time for our top 10. Ed, get over to the drums if you would.
Yeah, I got my guy. Go ahead.
Okay. The top 10 most famous explorers. This comes from biographyonline.net. Here we go. Number 10.
Now, is this water or land or both?
Anything.
Okay.
Worldwide. Number 10, Sir Edmund Hillary. He climbed Mount Everest first time 1953, all right? He also visited both the North Pole and the South Pole. Number 9, Leif Erikson. He was a Norse explorer. He lived between 970 and 1020. He made the first European journey to North America before Columbus.
Mm.
Number 8, David Livingstone. He was in the 1800s. He was a popular Victorian missionary who explored the continent of Africa. Number 7, James Cook. Cook was a British explorer in the 1700s who made groundbreaking voyages to the Pacific. He made the first European contact with the eastern coast of Australia, and he charted the islands in the Pacific from New Zealand to Hawaii.
Mm.
Number 6, Sir Walter Raleigh. Did he not invent the cigarette?
I don't know.
Raleigh was an English explorer who made several journeys to the Americas and also led expeditions in search of the legendary El Dorado. Number 5, John Cabot. John Cabot in the 1500s, or I should say the 1400s, Italian navigator. In 1497, he discovered parts of North America, later named Newfoundland. So he was of the same era as Chris Columbus, okay? Number 4, Marco Polo.
Marco Polo.
No, it's not a water game.
Oh.
I'm sorry about that, Ed. This is in the 12 and 1300s. Polo, a Venetian traveler and explorer, groundbreaking journeys to Asia and China. Number 3, Roald Amundsen. He lived from 1872 to 1928. He was a Norwegian explorer, key figure in the Antarctic exploration, and he discovered the South Pole. I'd say that's pretty good. Number 2, Vasco da Gama, 1469 to 1524. He was a Portuguese explorer, first European to reach India by sea, made a direct voyage to India traveling around the Cape of Good Hope in South Africa. All right, Ed, I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself.
I'm feeling, Ed. But I'm
who do you think is the number one all-time greatest explorer?
I feel embarrassed to even say this, because I thought it was going to be more hip than this. You're going way back. I was thinking of, my guy was Jacques Cousteau.
Oh, well.
But yeah, I mean, that's
hey,
why I said.
You're already alibying it. I just roll the drum.
That's why I asked you, is land or sea?
Could have been both.
Yeah.
You know that you're absolutely wrong?
Yeah, I know that.
Okay. Christopher Columbus.
Okay.
Christopher Columbus. I think we owe him the United States. Do we not? An Italian explorer made 4 groundbreaking voyages to the Americas. You know, he actually never set foot on our continental ground.
He actually stopped.
He never got close enough to it.
He actually set foot on St. Croix and the Virgin Islands.
Yes, he did.
There's a spot there. I go there every
but
year.
But he didn't get much further
take a photo,
than that.
But he never shows up. There's a plaque there with where he stepped in.
So. But that's the guy. All right. Thank you so very much. We will indeed be back on Wednesday. Be good. And remember, freedom works.
That is wrong, wanting you to stay here with me.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Steve.